Stevie Wonder, Take Six, Why I Feel This Way, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Open Our Eyes, Joe Pace, Till We're Together Again. Good Lord willing, and the well don't run dry. We'll be back next week. Y'all stay blessed, okay?
Summer breeze, and I hear it as it whispers through the trees. Well, it causes my heart to fly, gliding like an eagle through the sky. And I know
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Have you gotten your flu shot? It's never too late to protect yourself, your family, and your community against the flu. This year, it is more important than ever. Black and African Americans, people of color, pregnant people without health insurance or a regular health care provider, people with pre-existing conditions like asthma, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease, and people 65 and older are encouraged to get a flu shot. Multnomah County Health Department and Portland Community College are hosting a free weekly drive-through flu vaccine and COVID-19 testing clinic that will be held every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. until March 31, 2021, at PCC's Cascade Campus, Parking Lot 1, located at 701 North Jessup Street in Portland. Entrance is on North Albina Street. You can drive through, bike through, or walk up to. To reserve an appointment for a flu shot or COVID test, call 503-988-8939. That's 503-988-8939. This campaign is a project of the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health and the Communicable Disease Services programs. It is made possible with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Public Service Announcements.
Welcome to An Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. Today we're bringing you a lecture from the archives, dating back to 1976. Here is Imam W.D. Muhammad with a lecture entitled The Need for Leadership.
May his peace and his blessings forever be upon his servant and his messenger Muhammad. Ameen. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the one and only, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his true servant and his messenger. Brothers and sisters, it's really a beautiful sight today to see all of us here, peaceful looking, loving looking, smiling, enjoying, sitting on the floor with each other. All praise be to Allah. beautiful day out there today. This is Independence Day, you know. The 4th of July, 1976. America's 200 years old today as a government. So we would like to say happy birthday, but I feel to say a better birthday, America. And may America have a better birthday every year. Our brothers and sisters, we want to get right in our subject. We have come to that time in the history of the Nation of Islam that we really answer the prophecy of Long Elijah Muhammad. He prophesied. Not that he was a prophet, he never called himself a prophet. When he prophesied, he said, there will come a time when we won't hold meetings like we hold them now. He's saying there will come a time when we won't spend the hours in teaching that we spend now. So that time has arrived. We want to talk about leadership. The need for leadership. Many of us fail to understand the scripture and think the scripture is only concerned about people being spiritually happy. Many think that the world and the religion should be separate. The religion should have its own spiritual life, but worldly things should be left to the world. That idea has really ruined the strength of religious society. It has made the strength of the religious society just go down, 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 until now the religious society in most of the world is just following along, pacing, making a little progress, but hardly doing anything worthwhile in the communities. And Islam is quite different. We are told in Islam that we have to live in the world. We have to be concerned with the community and the needs of the community. And we have to do something about conditions in our communities. This is the teaching of Islam. We find some of the preachers in Christianity and other religions preaching this, but the great majority are satisfied just to make the people shout, get happy, and send them back home. It's a kind of a addiction to stimulant. The stimulant is spiritual excitement. They come in, they get high, and go back home. Conditions never change. The one who is hooked on narcotics or alcohol, the alcoholic, his life is no different. He gets drunk, gets high to escape reality, but when he wakes up, things look the same. When religious people get like that, shows that something has happened. Something terrible has happened. They have gotten off on the wrong path. So we are going to talk about leadership today. And as we look back into time and see those great giants we call prophets, messengers of God, we look and we understand that those men were great leaders. They were not people who followed the herd. They were called shepherds, those that led the herd. Moses was a leader. Jesus was a leader. Before them, Abraham was a leader. And Abraham is called the model leader, or the first of the leaders. Abraham, the upright one. In the scripture, his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, meaning father of many, father of many. And father in the scripture means leader. Back in those days, father had meaning because fathers led their families. But in modern times, the word father doesn't have much meaning because fathers are not keeping their houses, homes together, and fathers are not leading the families, right? The wife goes her way, the children go their way, the father is just left confused, looking for his wife and looking for his children all the time, right? But the father, once upon a time, was a leader. And Abraham, being such strong and upright example of leadership, was called father because father was a very strong word for leader. It had very strong meaning for leader. But today, to say one is a father doesn't mean so much. You can see now and understand why that in religion today we don't call God Father. Only Christians call God Father. Jesus, he did instruct, according to the Bible, his followers to call God Father. He said, call no one Father except your Father who art in heaven. Well, we know as Muslims that that was a mistranslation. The translators translated his teaching literally because they didn't understand the meaning, the real meaning, the real teachings of Jesus. So they just translated it literally. And there are many Semitic words that have many, many, many shades of meaning. And it might mean father in one context and mean leader in another context. And those people who translated the Bible, they weren't that experienced in translating or in reading and understanding the Semitic language. So when they translated, they made very many mistakes. We know now that father in scripture means only leader, not father. It means leader. God doesn't have to make a father. Fathers are made naturally. But when father forgets that he's a leader and fail to work together with the society to see that the society have leadership, and they cannot find a way through politics and through other fields of knowledge, then Almighty God has to bring the divine truth or the revealed knowledge and teach them what leadership is all about. Is that right? So we find that religion, under the guidance of Almighty God, has worked hard to preserve leadership. Now, what thing is more valuable to life, to human life, than leadership? We know when a baby is born, the baby is born head first. If the feet come out first, we call it a breech birth. Is that right? We don't like to see the feet come out first. When life comes here, it comes out head first. That's a sign that the head is first. When that baby starts to crawl around on the floor, the head is leading the body. Is that right? The head is out front. Then that baby learns to stand up and the head is on top. Now you see how that head just kept moving? Came out first, went out front, and got on top. All praise due to Allah. There's a sign in our own development that Almighty God intends that people, the human being, that society to have leadership. The trouble with the world today is disrespect for leadership. No respect for leadership. Everybody wants to be his and her own leader. Even this disease now is filtered down to the little 4 and 5 year olds. They don't want you telling them anything. They want to be their own leader. Look what the great builders of Western civilization have let happen. We weren't building this world. We weren't responsible for what was happening. If civilization has fallen apart, it's someone else's fault, not ours. It's the fault of those Caucasian builders who started off on the wrong foot. The army, you know, soldiers, the foot soldiers, the squats, they step off on the left foot. And the whole society follows that kind of command. We all ain't in the army, but the Western world is in the habit of stepping off on the wrong foot. Step off on the left foot, one. And then the right foot, two, you see? But in the world, they say, put your best foot forward. Well, is that your left foot? Is that the weakest foot? A man's right leg normally develops stronger than his left leg. Is that right? Because he's just naturally oriented toward the right. Is that right? So his right hand is normally stronger than his left. His right leg is normally stronger. If you want to kick somebody, he won't kick him with the left leg. Very few people you'll find trying to kick somebody with the left leg. He takes that right leg and do a good hard kick. Is that right? Because nature has orientated us toward one direction more than toward the other. You see? And we call that the right, because that's where the strength is. The world has been lost from the natural way of Almighty God. America is the place that has been affected the most by the works of the devil. No other place on the map has been affected more than America. Why do you say this on America's birthday? Because we hope that America will have a better birthday next year. You don't correct a naughty child by overlooking its mischief. If you want to correct that naughty child, you better watch its mischief and check it at every crooked turn. If you let him by once, he think he can get by 10 times. If you let him by twice, he think he can get by 20 times. So I'm the one that keeps my eye on things and know the trouble that I can make for myself by overlooking trouble. And I try to hit trouble whenever it stick up his head. I don't wait till his eyes show. I hit it right on the top of his head. That's the way you got to handle trouble. All praise is due to Allah. Now, in the development of leadership, the world as we know it, the Western powers came to the top, to the forefront and to the top. They managed to seize the throne and set as ruler over all the world. Do you know that? Sometimes we forget, you know, we just quick to forget. I remember hearing about terrible things in the newspaper, and it really hurt me so bad, it just interfered with my life for a while, you know. Threw everything out of order for a while. I go out the next day and everybody forgot about it. A civilized society, I mean a truly civilized society, that thing would be remembered so long until it wouldn't happen again for generations. That's right. The people would remember it so long that they would keep it from happening again for generations. Emmett Till, some of you recall his crucifixion. Crucified Emmett Till in a more horrible way than Jesus himself was supposed to have been crucified. And it didn't take most of us nothing but a day or so to forget that ever happened. That's how this world has made us, you know. Not just us, the whole American society is like this. America's West is worse even than the other nations of the West. You go to Europe, you won't find the people there. It's hard, cold, as insensitive. Most of them are more sensitive, more human. But here in America, where we have all the freedom to love Christ and preach His truth, is where you find the most hatred and the mountains of dark lies. This should tell us something. It should tell us that there must be something diabolic, something satanic, something awful, evil, and wicked, something strange and weird about the mentality over here in this country. But most of us won't wake up. Chief Minister, you look so beautiful when you're talking about the beauty of life and the sweetness of things. Why do you take on these ugly faces? Because I want to preserve the beauty that we have. The dirtier the city gets, the dirtier you have to prepare to get. Now the book says that Christ, in the return, would get himself right into the thick of things. So he would slay the wicked so much and so hard that his garments would become dyed with their blood. In the blood of the wicked. Is that right? Now we can't see this meaning physical blood. The job of a religious man is not to get himself all bathed and sprinkled with physical blood, but his job is to get into the human question of justice and the abuse of justice. And if he has to, he has to go right up to Satan and slap him in his gray face. Reach his right hand into his throat and snatch out his vital organs. Can't be so delicate, so pious and pure that he can't wrestle and fight hand to hand with Satan if he have to, do you understand? So this is what this job is all about. We have to be prepared to go right out there and jump into the slime, into the muck and mire, and march on through the ranks of Satan and walk right up to the beast that is the most abominable and grab his nasty slamming head and snatch it off his body. Is that right? That's what we have to be prepared to do. Moses was a leader. Moses got down with the people, is that right? Moses led the people. Moses met the people face on. And told them, put down this corruption. Get rid of these filthy things. Put down these lies. Is that right? Moses told them to stand up straight, clean yourself up, stand up straight and walk straight. And they argued with him at every turn in the road. Is that right? Well, what's next, Moses? We've been following you now for days, and we still don't see anything that looks as prosperous as Egypt. What's next, Moses? Moses had to contend with those people and put up with them. He was leading them toward mind strength. They had been singing songs about Jehovah, but they didn't have no mental development. They wanted something of their own, but they weren't prepared to handle it if they got it. Moses, understanding this, kept his eye on the highest principles and object in creation. That is divine justice, divine truth. And he kept marching ahead. So yes, you'll get your milk and honey, but not right now. Wait. There's a time for drinking milk and honey, and there's a time for preparing yourself to sit down and enjoy it once you get it. Is that right? But they wanted to drink it before getting ready for it. What good can milk and honey do you if you're diseased? Milk and honey is for people that's doing well. People that's got flour, sugar, beans, rice, meat. Those are the people that enjoy milk and honey. The man that haven't had anything to eat, he don't enjoy milk and honey. It might taste good for a second or two, and he say, good God Almighty, you got something heavier than this? So Moses was a leader, brother and sister. He knew he had to gradually bring those people up, physically, mentally, and morally, so that they get strong enough to appreciate the delicate and finer things of life. Is that right? Jesus came along behind him, and Jesus told the people, you ain't ready. All of those prophets came behind me, and I find everything is just as though nothing ever happened. I have to fulfill now the prophecy. But all of them came, and you haven't followed any of them. That's what he said, in effect. He said, look, you haven't followed these prophets. So I have to demonstrate to you how you are supposed to follow the prophets that came before me. He said it in the words, I have to fulfill. Is that right? I came to fulfill. Mean I came to live right before your eyes what those prophets was talking about, because since their time, nobody have been living what they were talking about. Called the world a bunch of hypocrites. Is that right? For failing to demonstrate what the prophets had brought into the world for them to live by. So Jesus said, you don't have anything. So you don't have anything. So your world is a world of darkness, ruled by Satan. And he told them that you ain't ready for me. Is that right? Said, I'm in the world, but the world received them not. Is that right? Was no place in the world for him. When he was called to make the supreme sacrifice, even his own disciples set on the wayside, hid, refused to acknowledge themselves, didn't want to identify with that brave man called Christ. Is that right? Peter, the very rock of the church, got soft three times. Now, we have inherited in the West a leadership from Jerusalem that wasn't strong enough to follow strength when they got it. Is that right? Then those who came up behind strength fell into darkness and weakness, started compromising with the pagans. There's a certain saint called Saint Basil, I think his name, or Basil, B-A-S-I-L, Basil, Saint Basil. This saint instructed the Christian people to use whatever pagan concepts were available to them. Said, use these concepts to speak and speak through these concepts your Christianity. So what kind of man is this who will tell the Christian people to take up the horn of the devil and blow your music through his horn? A horn should be designed to play the music of God. Concepts should be God's concept. God never said, take up
Satan's imagery, take up Satan's imagination, take up his concepts, and speak through his mind. That's what you're doing. Anytime you take up the ideas of paganism and talk Christianity through those pagan ideas, through the structure of pagan ideas, you are using the tools of the devil and speaking through the mind structure of the wicked world. Is that right? And that's what happened. So as a result, we began, as a Christian society, we began to take on holidays of the pagan. So this Christianity, as we see it, is no new religion. It was way before Jesus. And Jesus would never have taken up these crazy ideas. He didn't speak through any crazy ideas like that. Jesus spoke the truth. Blood sacrifices. You know where that come from. You know enough about it. If you've seen a few movies of ancient times, you know about blood sacrifices. You know what kind of society practiced that. The sacrificing of human life itself to please God is a pagan idea. For in the Bible, God says that he does not desire blood sacrifices. Is that right? So the sacrifice that he loves is a repentant heart. That's what is written in the Bible. But in the New Testament, the world has told us that God wanted a blood sacrifice. And before this idea was put in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that God does not want a blood sacrifice. So somewhere there's a big lie, isn't it? The lie is in the language. The chief liar and the thief has changed the language to say what he wanted to say. He has something else under the name blood. What kind of blood should you be willing to sacrifice for God? Blood in ancient days, especially under Moses, was called unclean. Is that right? If a person had blood on them, they were polluted and couldn't come into the services. Is that right? Read the Bible. All right, so the sacrificing of blood means the sacrificing of your wickedness. Giving up your impurities, giving up your corruption. This is the kind of sacrifice God wants to make. Not the blood of the flesh, but the corruption of the spirit.
You are listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KPOO Portland, 90.7 FM. This archival lecture you've been listening to dates back nearly 50 years now to 1976, featuring Imam W.D. Muhammad, lecture entitled The Need for Leadership. Normally at this hour, we break away to Pathways, but we do have an hour-long special here for you today. So stay tuned for part two of Imam W.D. Muhammad, The Need for Leadership.
This is the kind of sacrifice God wants to make. Not the blood of the flesh, but the corruption of the spirit. Pour out that filth. Pour out the impurities that people sometimes get so weak for that become the only blood in their life. Some people can't live by purity. They can't live by strength. The only thing they can live by is filth and corruption. Is that right? So when that thing becomes the blood of a person, then that person has to pour out his own life blood to save himself. When the world becomes filthy like that, then the world has to pour that out of themselves. to save themselves. But never should they have called this the blood of a man's body. The whole Bible has been teaching us against blood. Is that right? Have been teaching us against putting our ideas in physical blood. Have been trying to raise the man up out of his blood. For life, when it began, is in blood. And it's formed, and God bring it here, and it's bloody. And it's offensive to us. The first thing we want to do is wash the blood off that newborn baby. Is that right? So God has naturally conditioned us to not to like the sight of blood and to see blood. And if you let blood stay around for just a little while, it becomes stinky. It gets stinky. And it becomes germy. Blood will make the society filthy and contaminated. Is that right? It will corrupt the society. So we know that when you have an issue of blood or something, we know we have to keep it clean. Is that right? Because that blood performs a service for the physical flesh. It carries the impurities and it carries the strength of the body. It's fluid. Is that right? The blood is fluid. So all the time, it's passing strength and passing off things that the body does not need. If you make it solid now, suppose the blood would become solid, you would die suddenly. Is that right? It would lose its ability to pass away the unwanted and carry the good where it's supposed to go. But they tell human beings that you're supposed to believe in the blood of Christ. Take a little wine as his blood and a little cracker as his body, a flesh. Is that right? So eat, drink of my blood, all of it, and my flesh, eat all of it. They know that if they can get your mind to accept a language, that language will design, will form you inside your body. How many understand what they're saying? How many Christians? There are some right here today. Most of you used to be Christians, but there are some Christians right here today who perhaps are still Christians. And if I would ask them, what does the cracker mean? What does the flesh of Jesus mean? What does the blood of Jesus mean? They say, I don't know. It means his blood. He gave his blood to save the world. Well, that means that they have been carrying these ideas without understanding. So if one carries the idea of drinking a man's blood and the idea of eating a man's flesh without understanding a higher idea over this or behind this, he's being trained and shaped as a cannibal. Now, he might not go out there and just attack somebody and drink the blood out of the vein like Dracula. Or go out there and see somebody and just start chewing the physical flesh off his body. But in his moral life, he'll be doing these things. He'll be a cannibal in his family life. He'll be a cannibal in his religious life. A cannibal in his economic life, business life. A cannibal in his political life. Now look at the Western world. Don't you see one big cannibal? One big cannibal eating all flesh and drinking the blood of people. The mind has been trained to do this. In other parts of the world, they've taught the same thing, but nowhere in the world has this kind of seductive undercurrent teaching been so as successful as it has been in America. Why? Because America have tried to achieve the perfect democracy. Other nations have not tried as hard as America to achieve the perfect democracy. The idea of democracy that Americans were given was a corrupt idea of democracy. It was political deception. A hypocritical democracy. How can there be democracy with no knowledge of democracy? For the majority of the people, the knowledge of democracy that they have is freedom. Is that right? Freedom to do your own thing. Freedom to vote for who you want to vote for. Is that right? Freedom to go into business, any business you choose. Freedom to just live your life as you want to live it. This is supposed to be democracy. Look in the jungles, and you'll find the same freedom out there. But those animals have been conditioned by God through nature to survive in a free for all world like they live in. Human beings are not ruled by animal instinct. The average animal, when he gets full, he's through. Is that right? He'll seize a smaller animal. When he gets full, he's through. He's not going out there and just keep killing. But the human being, once he gets in the habit of killing, he kills and kills and kills. He doesn't kill just to be full. He kills when he's full. He's still killing. Is that right? And it so happens in the development of this mentality in the West that the biggest killers are those who are the fullest. So you see, we have a different life altogether to deal with when we're dealing with human life. Human life is not like animal life. Some crazy Western mind studies the physical and natural world with the guidance of the Jacobite and said society to be free has to be left alone to do what it wants to do. It should have as much vice as it wants. It should have as much cruelty as it wants. As much lie as it wants. If it's free, it has to have as much of anything it desires. It has to have as much as it desires. This is the idea that we live under in this world. The idea that you're supposed to have as much of whatever you desire. So there's no law against establishing crime. There's a law to punish you if you're caught. But there's no law to punish you for practicing crime. Is that right? You're free to be a criminal in America until caught by the bigger or by the most fit, the survival of the fittest. Is that right? So if I have more money and more power than you, I can seize you. Take your little thing over. Right? And if I get too big for the government begin to worry, I'm not going to be the fittest if I let this thing grow a little bit more. Then the government comes against me so that the fittest can survive. Is that right? This is America. This kind of idea corrodes leadership. People can't come together for leadership because the whole society is designed against the development of strong leadership. The very idea of freedom suggests that you are not to combine your strength, but keep your strength to yourself. You see? Freedom, freedom, freedom. Democracy, democracy, democracy. Government of the people, by the people. How can there be government of the people and by the people when the people themselves from the day that they're born to the day they die are being trained to resist, to rebel, and ignore government. So a population that hasn't been trained to respect government, to know government, and then move in the, through the channels of government, how can that nation claim that it has a nation, a government that is of the people and by the people? The average person don't even know what they're talking about. Government of the people and by the people. Masses think that they have the freedom to run it if they're not running it. You have the freedom to manage your own affairs if you're not managing your own affairs. But without knowledge, there is no freedom for a human being. A human being don't just move by his legs like a dog. A human being moves by his intelligence, by his mind. If we only have the freedom to transport ourselves with our legs, we have no more freedom than the animals have. Is that right? If we only have the freedom to argue over taste, who have the better piece of meat, we have no more freedom than the animals have. They have sense of smell and taste. They argue over the better pieces of the meat. The only freedom that we can call truly our own is the freedom to think, the freedom to act upon rational strength. That's the only freedom that human beings have. Now, if this world haven't encouraged you to develop your mind, to reason, to think things out before you move, to understand your life and what you're doing, if they haven't trained people to do that, then the majority of the people living in America are without leadership. And the majority of the people in America don't have democracy and don't have freedom. Take a man and put him in a society and tell him he's free. But take away the only tool that he has to use to enjoy freedom with. Take that away from him. Put him in the world and tell him he's free and take his legs off from under him. Take his arms off. Most of you don't know it, but the crucifix itself is a sign of what was coming upon the world. Not that Jesus the prophet has done like that, but a people that's born without father, a people that's born without leadership, a people that's born without a mother having no father. Mother means society. Father means leadership. So Jesus is a sign of what's going to happen to the world. Or what was going to happen to the world. The ancient people knew it. The devil himself knew it. And the devil himself put the image of Jesus on the cross as a sign of what the devil was going to do to the world. That he was going to bring the poor masses, those without leadership, without social fathers, without governmental fathers. Look how long we lived in America, 300 years, without a father in government to defend us. Is that right? Almost 300 years, a whole people lived in America without a father in government to defend us. Now, if you want to see a real strong sign that has all of the connections with the crucifixion of Jesus, look at our people for almost 300 years hanging on the limbs of the crucifiers. Now, you want to see Jesus? Don't look back there 2,000 years ago. the Holy Quran says that Jesus is a sign. Not only is the man a sign, the book says that Jesus and his mother are a sign. Is that right? Not only the man is a sign, but the mother too is a sign. A sign that there's going to be a people born in a society who has no father to acknowledge it. It will have to cry to a spiritual father, because that's the only father they'll be able to identify with. Do you understand? And the world will mistreat it, reject its goodness. And who can you find any better in the world than the poor? If you want to get a feeling from people's hearts, don't go to the rich. If you want to get a feeling from people's hearts, don't go to the learned. Go to the poor. Go to the ignorant, and you'll get a feeling from their heart. Look. Jesus was a sign of the heart that's in the poor. Sign of the heart that's in the ignorant people. And the pouring out of that blood, brother, is the pouring out of your life. Not the life of a man that was supposed to have been crucified 2,000 years ago. The nailing of the hands was not the nailing of the hands of a man 2,000 years ago. It means that this big block of the public, this big block of people, because they had no father, and they spoke from the only thing they knew to speak from the heart, from the Spirit of God in themselves. They had no eloquent tongue to defend themselves in the halls of politics and science. So all they could do is speak from what they had. That was the Spirit of God. Is that right? And for doing that, they nailed the hand. It means make it impossible for you to be financially successful. Nail your feet. It means make it impossible for you to go away from a persecuting environment to a better one. You can't even walk out of the world. Everywhere you go, you carry the burden of a stigma on you. So though you're moving physically, you're making no movement at all. Your social feet are nailed to the cross. Is that right? Now look at the book, you see yourself. The book says that Jesus and his mother's the sign. This whole world's leadership got weak. And people on the low levels of society begin to see the defects in the heaven of the wicked world. They saw that that heaven wasn't as shiny and as pure as it looked to be. They began to question the knowledge on high. Before they began to suspect the knowledge was wrong, men without great knowledge just couldn't accept the conduct of a world that claimed to be right and was behaving as though it knew nothing of any righteousness at all. This 4th of July should be remembered by us. It is the birthday of the United States of America. I would say today America is 2 years old. I'm not making fun. I'm praising America. Because yesterday, she was 2 months old. Laying on her back, crying and hollering, dirtying up herself, spitting and slobbering all over herself, kicking her feet and hands up in the air. Instead of walking on the feet and using the hands. But today, America is 2 years old. Most babies at 2 years old can stand on their own feet.
Is that right? Most babies at 2 years old also learn to speak with their own tongue. Look how long America has been depending on the feet of Europe and Jerusalem. The Pope and the synagogue. Look how long America has been using the tongue of the Pope and the rabbi. So America can't talk so well today, but thank God Almighty that America is about ready to start speaking with our own tongue, walk on our own feet, and manage our own life. Is that right? So 2 years old is a great thing, a great sign that America may be becoming independent for the first time in its history. All of the history behind it wasn't independent. America took up the tools of the European, the tools of slavery, the tools of enslavement. Is that right? The tools of a hypocritical democracy. The tools of Christianity. The tools of trust in the rabbis. Counsel behind the scenes. But today I think America is ready to sever its connection. Cut its navel cord. And start doing something on its own. We haven't had American leadership. We've had European and Jerusalem leadership. Now it's time for America to have American leadership, and I believe America is going to have American leadership. The government is wise enough by its own actions so far to see the signs of time and move in the right direction. So all praise is due to Allah. So I say we can celebrate this 4th of July. Let us celebrate it in the spirit of hope. Let's trust that Allah will continue as He has done in the past to turn earth, water, air, and fire, public and government, to manifest His great plan so that the poor will have a leader. We have a leader today, brothers and sisters. Not just in myself, but in this new mind that's coming into form, into life and into form all over the world. We have leadership now. The masses are not without hope. We're not without leadership. We have leadership in the world today. It's growing, but it's leadership. And if all the forces of this mind, new mind, die, don't worry. The force of that mind here in the chief minister in the Nation of Islam is going to live until the whole world has been made right again. So brothers and sisters, you have sacrificed today to hear me out. Allah will reward you for your sacrifices. You discipline yourself and brought pain to your body. But Allah, He knows how to make suffering turn into profit. So don't think it was bad. It wasn't even bad for your physical body. After today, your physical body is going to be stronger. And your mind much stronger. But I greet you in peace. Let us keep faith and work hard to preserve leadership. Don't listen to the backsliders. Don't listen to the foot dragons. Don't listen to the rebellious modern-day Hebrews who say, what's next? Where is he going from here? If we don't go nowhere from here, we'll be in heaven for the rest of our lives. I promise you.
Listening to an Islamic point of view here on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Today's archival lecture, The Need for Leadership, was by Imam W.D. Muhammad, a recording from 1976. If you've benefited from today's broadcast, please support this program with your donation at mccpdx.org and at kboo.fm. You can follow the Muslim Community Center of Portland on Facebook at
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Listener-supported community radio.
Tune into KBOO for Bridge Over Troubled Water, a tribute to the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Mark.